when you think about the construction of this at its time, did it represent a big technological challenge?
Oh yes, anytime you build a floating bridge, it gets challenging. You know, a typical bridge, from a bridge design point of view, it's almost like a cookbook, and you can go to a bridge design manual you figure out what type of foundation material you have, how long of a span you need, and it's pretty straightforward. There is no real design manual for floating bridges. Mm-hmm. And WashDOT has created a lot of the standards that are used in design of floating bridges.
Was the decision to make it like this to do with the fact that it had to be so long?
No, the main driver to go with a floating bridge across Lake Washington is, one, the depth of the lake, which is almost 200 feet out at mid-span. And then so you've got 200 feet of water, and then below that you've got areas where there's an excess of 100 feet of unsuitable foundation material.
Right.
So you'd be looking at least 300 feet for a support pier.
Right.
And you would need multiple piers. And it's just, from a cost-benefit ratio, it makes sense to go with a floating bridge.
Right, so shall we take a bit of a walk and have a look at some of the nuts and bolts of things?
Let's go for a walk.
With us also is Jennifer Ott from HistoryLink, and we're just about to go down a hatchway in the sort of emergency sidewalk on the southern side of 520 Bridge. We're going down a metal stairway. This is quite cool, because we're going to get down into the lower deck. Oh, wow. Wow, it's just like the Alaskan Way Viaduct.
Almost. This is the area where the high-rises are elevated to allow for navigation channels.
Yeah, so the high-rises are the two, when you see this from a distance, it's actually quite a lovely, graceful structure. You have these kind of two sort of beautiful curved rises. It's really,
it just kind of flows.
Yeah, it's actually, aesthetically, it's pretty cool.
And so once we carry traffic up and over the navigation channel, then we transition so that we actually come down almost to lake level. Uh-huh. And once you get beyond that point, you're actually driving on the top of the pontoons.
Can you describe a pontoon for me so we know what we're talking about?
The typical pontoon out here is 60 feet wide, 360 feet long, and they draft about 10 feet. And they're broken up into honeycombs, if you will.
And what shape are they when you look down from above? Are they?
Is it
rectangular? Or is it?
Yeah, they're not square. No.
Yeah.
And inside there's a series of 15 by 15 cells, 4 cells wide, 24 cells long on a typical pontoon. And those are the cells that have been compartmentalized. We have internal cells, and then we have external cells. So if we do get struck by a vessel, that watertight compartment on the outside row will flood, holding the core, the interior watertight compartments in the center together and dry.